You may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Heavenly Father, through Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. What is it that makes a joke funny? You know, people have actually studied that question. They have concluded that most humor in most cultures is based on there sort of being a plot line, some expectations that are following along, and then the punchline of the joke kind of turns everything upside down, goes in a very unexpected direction. And people who study humor have actually determined the funniest joke in the world. I kid you not. You want to hear it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So there's these two hunters from New Jersey, and they're out hunting one day, and the one guy trips and he falls, his eyes roll back into the back of his head, and he stops breathing, and the other guy pulls out his cell phone and he calls 911 and he says, "My partner has collapsed and I don't know what to do next." And the 911 operator said, I can help you through that. First, you need to make sure that he's really dead." And so the guy goes over, and the next thing you hear is a gunshot. And then he comes back and he says, "So now what?" Okay, I didn't think it was all that funny. Certainly not the funniest joke in the world. But at any rate, that's what scientists tell us, the people who study humor. Something is going along and it all of a sudden it completely upsets the apple cart. The unexpected happens. Leads us into our Old Testament reading today. A reading from Genesis chapter 18 and 21. The Garden of Eden is far in the distance. Human disobedience has made a mess out of all the world, all the way from Cain and Abel to the flood to the Tower of Babel. And now God has been working through all of the families of the earth, and he chooses one family in particular. Abraham and Sarah will be the source of blessing to the fallen world. God has appeared to Abraham, and he's given him a wonderful sevenfold blessing. And he set Abraham on a journey full of all kinds of twists and turns. And when Abraham is a young man of only 70 years old, he's received the blessing. And when he's 75, God comes to him and promises him the birth of a son. Now in our story, Abraham is 99 years old. Sarah is 90 and is old as well. Both are well past their childbearing years. Diapers and decorating a nursery can't possibly be in their plans. All of the conventional wisdom of this world says that their child-raising days are past. The promise seems but a distant memory. Abraham and Sarah are wealthy, but they're nomads. They have no place to call their own. They pitch their tent as they follow their flocks. They follow the patterns of the herds that they have accumulated, and it's another hot day in the Middle East, and Abraham is resting in the shade of his tent when he sees three visitors coming. Abraham is tired, but after all, these are visitors, and in those days, visitors are important. They deserve the best in terms of hospitality. And so Abraham and Sarah hurry to give their very best. They spring into host and hostess mode. Water and bread and cheese and a prize calf from the herd are prepared. And the visitors graciously stay and eat. Now we learn from the rest of the story that it is the Lord who has come to visit. And God is speaking directly through these visitors. Folks argue whether they're angels or perhaps some representation of the triune God. But the important thing is that their message is startling, humorous even. "Before this time next year, you will have a son. The promise will be fulfilled." And Sarah laughs. Who can blame her? Abraham laughed the last time he heard the promise. It is simply ridiculous. It sounds more like a joke. And yet God has a way of coming through with his promises. He makes things happen when it seems all hope is lost. He's faithful even in the path of overwhelming odds. Is anything too hard for the Lord? And so he gives Abraham and Sarah their son. They call him Isaac, which in Hebrew means laughter, because God made this impossible promise come true. Our God is a God of fulfilled promises. He is constantly pledging himself to us. Now, to be sure, he doesn't always give us what we want. He doesn't give us what we think we need. He doesn't always do things on our timetable. He doesn't promise us good health or material blessings or a pain-free life. But he does promise something more. He promises that he will be with us. He promises that our sins are forgiven. He promises that we will spend eternity with him in a new heaven and a new earth. On the surface, those can seem like ridiculous promises. God with us? God with our messed up, sinful, broken world? God in the midst of sinful human creatures? Why? Why would the creator of the world want to spend any time with us? Sins forgiven? You must be kidding. When you look at the mountain of things that I've done wrong in the last week, the number of times I've failed my wife, my friends, not to mention all the times I haven't done what God commands? Eternity with God? I can't possibly deserve that. I haven't earned it. My actions deserve hell and eternal separation from God. And yet we hear Paul's words to Timothy. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord. Even though I was a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. A shepherd who leaves 99 to search for one. A woman who turns the house upside down to find one lost coin and then spends more money than that on a party. It might seem like a joke, but this is the heart of God, to seek and to save that which is lost, to find you and me in our broken, lost, and sinful condition, and to rescue us, every last one of us. Paul says in 2 Corinthians, no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the Amen is spoken to by us to the glory of God. And so a young woman, Mary by name, receives the visit of another angel. You will have a child, and you will call him Jesus. Mary didn't laugh, at least not out loud. May it be to me as you have said. I am the handmaiden of the Lord. And so her son was born and lived in Nazareth in Galilee for a time. And people wondered if anything good could ever come out of Nazareth. He spoke in parables and riddles, sometimes too difficult for even his disciples to understand. People laughed at Jesus because his promises seemed outlandish. They scoffed and rejected him. Even when he told them, the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and teachers of the law, and they will condemn him to death, and he will hand him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified. And on the third day, he will be raised to life. And so on the cross, the religious leaders cry out to him, if you're really the Son of God, then come down from that cross. And yet he gave his life, and he died and God keeps his promises. The angels at the tomb make the announcement. I kind of think they were laughing. He's not here. He's risen from the dead. Go and tell his disciples that he is going to meet you in Galilee. There are times when we laugh because we understand the joke. We expected the story to go one way, and it turned out in a way that was surprising and amusing. There are other times when we laugh because of our incredible good fortune. Things have turned out so well that we can hardly believe it. We are blessed, surprised, amazed. And the only thing we can do is smile and rejoice and laugh. I think in the church there are times when smiling and laughing are appropriate responses. In the Eastern Church, Easter is a day of laughter. Everyone tells jokes because they're remembering the joke that Jesus played on Satan. We, in our culture, have a tendency to be somber and reflective. Even when we do things like receive the very body and blood of Jesus. Today, I would suggest that an appropriate response when you receive communion might be to rejoice. It might be to smile. You can even go back with a little bit of spring in your step, and I'm giving you permission to laugh in joy. We serve a great and marvelous God. Our God loves us and continues to surprise us with his grace. God wants all of his creation to know this kind of love. He's seeking to bless the world through us. Sometimes, a lot of times, he does it in surprising and unexpected ways. In the story of Abraham and Sarah and a child of promise, we see a story of love and faith and laughter. It points us forward to the story of the child of promise who gives us more than we can hope for and more than we deserve. So celebrate the good news that is yours in Jesus today. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Rejoicing in God's gifts to us, we return to the Lord our tithes and our offerings.